Good evening, lovelies. Welcome to another episode of Coffee, Candy, and Creatives. My creative tonight is actress Denise Gossett. She is also the founder and director of LA's longest-running horror film festival and screenplay competition. It enters its 21st year. It has been voted one of the best horror festivals in the world, and from a personal perspective, it is absolutely one of the most fun film festivals in the world. She's been voted the most influential woman in the genre, and she's in the top 10 most influential women in horror history. She's an amazing person. She's an amazing friend. And Tom Hiddleston was lucky enough to actually work with her in the film I Saw the Light, or at least that's my interpretation of it. So grab a cup of coffee or your favorite beverage, cuddle up with your host pup, and enjoy the show.
Hi, how are you?
So where are you? Are you West Coast or East Coast right now?
I am in Florida right now.
It's hot.
Yep, it is. Today is kind of cool, actually, which is a nice little break. But, you know, when all this started happening, I was like, why be there, be here?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Look at this. This is life. I have my son calling me, even though I said I'm about to go into an interview. Well, he hung up on me, so never mind. This is life, though, isn't it? Everything
How old is Justin now?
Justin is 19 now. I know.
You don't look like you could be old enough to have a kid that old.
Well, obviously, but, you know. No, but he keeps me young. He keeps me young because he's so childlike that it helps me to feel younger.
Sure.
Your little one's getting big too.
Yeah, she is. She's going to be 13 in July.
Oh my gosh.
I know. Where does the time go?
And she is your mini me. I tell you what.
I know, right?
Your husband's like, none of me? Nothing?
They say, like, people who know him really well say they see his face in her. Mm-hmm. I think it's my hair and her hair makes us look like we're one and the same.
That's right. Twinsies. I wanted to start off. I've been trying to ask people about them when they were little. Tell me about little Denise. Ooh. Did she always want to be this actress, or was she fascinated with slashing and gore?
Well, Denise wanted to either act, sing, or dance. Like, I always said, this is what I'll do. And like, I remember in high school, or maybe it was middle school, I got a bunch of friends together and I said, let's start a band. But none of us knew how to play an instrument. So we kind of just pretended we were a band. But like, I loved performing. But what was interesting is like, I did a few acting schools. And, you know, back then it was like, go to Lisa Maley. I don't know if that's everywhere, but it was kind of like, teaches you how to act, how to handle yourself, you know, all that weird stuff. Mm-hmm. But I never really did anything too seriously until high school. I did a play, and then it was like I was fully hooked. And some of the colleges were coming around and doing auditions for scholarships. So I auditioned, and I got partial scholarship with the chance to audition again after the first semester. And I ended up getting almost all of my college paid for.
Wow.
And it was amazing. And that's when I jumped in. I literally knew nothing about the industry, acting, anything, and just started learning so much. And as for the horror films, it was so bizarre because my parents would let my brother and I watch horror films. We weren't allowed to watch rated R movies, but for some reason they would let us rent scary movies. Go figure, right? Still gonna ask my mom about that. What were you thinking? So we would, of course, rent any horror film we could get our hands on, and just have always loved it. I like being scared. I like creatures. I like suspense. That's
right. Me too. I don't like jump scares though. I think, they get me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's hard to do a jump scare. Now maybe I'm so jaded from all these years of watching horror films. But yes, I agree with you because like in doing this all, it's like, oh, a few seconds to recover here.
Right.
Yeah, like, I know what you mean.
Yeah. Like watching those videos and it's like volume up and I'm like, nope, not doing it. Not doing it.
I know what's coming. I'm not doing it.
But yeah. I mean, I've had where I've like slid my laptop across the table, like, no, you know. Or like the snake one. It's like, ooh, that's a big snake. Oh my God. So yeah, no, not a fan of the jump scare, but I love the gore. I love the slashing, the hacking.
Have you always loved it, Quinn?
Since about the age of, I'd say 16 or so. My high school boyfriend at the time, his mom had It, the book It, sitting on our couch. And I was like, well, what's this? And well, you know, welcome being terrified of clowns, first of all.
Exactly.
And second of all, I was like, they do that? People write about this stuff? Because up to that point, what did we know? We knew what we could get from our local library in the kids
Right.
section or the young adult section. I mean, probably the raciest, you know, ooh, thing I might have read had been like the Martian Chronicles or Fahrenheit 4, you know. And
Right.
I was like, whoa. And I remember having the same feeling reading that as when my aunt gave me a romance novel at like the age of 12, a bodice ripper, as I call them. And I know my eyes were like, whoop.
This new world.
I read that book, and for the longest time, I would not like go outside in the dark. I was like, forget about it. So from then on, absolutely. I mean, I love Evil Dead, the originals. Anything with zombies, I love, love, love zombies. I'm not cr like I said, I'm not crazy about the, oh, we're walking in the woods and you know, it's like, no, give us something else. Like Cabin in the Woods was really
Right,
good. It was
right.
really well done. My favorite part in that is when they're going, spoiler alert, when they're going and they see all the creatures, you know,
Oh,
in their
yeah.
glass cages, and you're trying to look at all of them because it's just so cool. So
Right.
yeah, about you, I think you've gone back a little further, probably, you know, you were age 3 and you were watching Friday the 13th or whatever, probably.
Love
But
you.
but you know, yeah, about the same time, probably that impressionable middle school, high school ages. And I love it. And you know what? And being a writer, I can write that, but I cannot write a love scene to save my life.
Interesting. Why do you think that
I get awkward. I don't know. I feel like I start getting embarrassed, like with what I'm writing, and I'm like, I can't. I just now I can write about, you know, a guy slashing a werewolf in half, or you know, someone getting beheaded. NSA is going to show up all of a sudden, or Homeland Security. But no, we're talking about
right.
horror films. But you know what I mean? So like blood, gore, splatter. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't bother me. I'm not crazy. Like I haven't seen some of the Rob Zombie films just because I don't like human on human violence that much.
Right.
I need to take that realism away for me to
Right.
enjoy it, because and that's the reason I don't watch a lot of action films, is because you know we can kind of see that every day. Like
Right.
I'm not gonna rent a movie to watch two guys fight in a street. So that's I think that's
Right.
one reason that I love horrors, because it's so unrealistic,
Right.
most
And
of
that's
it.
probably why you can't write those love scenes, because it's too close to home. You don't want to go there. At least with the horror, you can kind of fake, like, okay, this
Right.
would never happen to me, so here I could
Exactly.
do this. Yeah.
And it's frustrating because I have this wonderful idea, and the whole rest of the story, it's like, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. But a key point in it is the main character losing their virginity. And I'm like,
Can't
ugh,
do
I can't do it. I'm like,
it.
can I have a little ghostwriter just for like this chapter? You
I'm
know,
sure you could.
hey, if someone wants credit, you know,
I'm
co-written
sure you
with.
could. There are
But
so many, amazing writers out there that probably
absolutely.
have the opposite feeling of you. They can do that, but they can't do the horror.
I don't know. It is what it is, but you do the best you can with what you got, I guess. Speaking of horror, I'm staring at your trophy in the background. I miss Shriek Fest so much.
Oh my gosh, me too. It's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. But it's definitely going to happen. And I'm actually wasn't really going to tell anyone this, but I think I'm going to just pick dates, our usual dates in October, and just move it. And we'll do it. And because we are almost to the point where we have the, we're picking things. I have pulled in some new judges. There are like 300 short films in the S file. I'm not lying.
That's amazing. It's
So, and
overwhelming, but amazing.
we only take between 35 and 45. So I had to bring in new judges with fresh eyes to now compare. So that's what we're working on now. We just did all the semifinalists for all the screenplay categories. So now we'll be narrowing down. I've got new judges looking at those so we can pick finalists. But I kind of just feel like let's just skip 2020 altogether and call it 2021 and let's do this. go from there. But LA is slowly opening. I know that they were starting to allow some theaters to start opening this week, but like at 10% or something, which
Right.
who can make money doing that, right? These small
Right.
theaters.
And
So, yeah.
you were when the year I went, it was at the Charlie Chaplin Theater, and
Yes.
that's a small theater, so I can't imagine. I would imagine that the would you think the bigger theaters, the AMCs or the I can't think of another one, the those big money makers would open first, but maybe not the little ones?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because Raleigh is still not open for events, not at all. And that's, we have 161 seat theater there, and then the two small theaters that we add in. But I have been talking to people at AMC and several other theaters, and they'll do it, but they're still charged. Like I said, I told them, okay, at 10% capacity, if I fill that 10%, I still cannot cover the cost here.
Right.
So to me, what's the point of that? And how fun is it going to be if you're in this massive theater and you have, 25 people in the audience because that's all they'll allow and they're all spread around.
Right.
I know some people would like me to just go ahead and do it, but I want to do it right and I want to do it
Exactly.
fun the way we like Shriek Fest.
And it's just like that the Charlie Chaplin Theater, it's so cool. And
Yes.
it's so old, and it's just, ooh, it's just, it's the coolest thing. And you,
It is fun.
it's really like, it's a case of you wanted the hamburger, but what they gave you was like a peanut butter and jelly. You don't want to settle.
Yeah.
You want your venue. You want, 'cause you've been, how long has Shriek Fest been going on? 20,
This is the 21st year.
20, 21 years. And you've been using the same,
Raleigh Studios the whole
yeah.
time.
You don't want to
They
deviate
love
from
it.
that. I mean, I
Right,
feel
and
like.
everyone loves that place, the energy there. I mean, Charlie Chaplin started that studio, right? That old energy and that vibe that when you come to Shriek Fest, there could be something shooting over here right now. Just that great energy. People love it, especially people from out of country or other states. They come in and they're like, oh my gosh, I've never been on a studio lot before. So they
Right.
really love it. Even the people that have been there before and know it, everybody loves Raleigh Studios. It's
Yeah.
just intimate. It feels like home, comfortableness.
And
And
it wouldn't be the same if we weren't there.
I agree. I
I
agree.
remember the year I first met you, I was walking towards the red carpet and I walked past something and I just kind of saw it like this. And I actually stopped, walked backwards and went, and yeah, you're right. They were filming something. And I was like,
Right.
what is this? And it had a little sign. I can't remember what show it was, but it had a little sign. And I was like, this is the freaking coolest thing ever.
Exactly. Exactly. And like we I remember I'm dropping her name right now, Kevin Bacon's wife. They had,
Kira
remember her?
Sedgwick.
Yes, remember her show? It the whole show shot at Raleigh Studios.
That
And
might have been
so
what it was,
yeah,
depending on
one
the
year they
year.
had their wrap party and they were all there and they like came in and were talking to us. I'm like, this is so cool.
LA in general, people get jaded, I think. But
Yeah.
for me, when I come out, now I'm not like, but I'll be like, oh, there's so and so.
That's
That's so
cool.
cool. Yeah.
Where
Yeah.
are you at right now?
I'm in Florida.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I'm with
How did
you.
I not know that? Not that
Nobody's
anybody
gonna look you
knows.
up. It's fine. Nobody will
I
look you up.
know,
It's fine.
right?
Y'all can come to my house. It's fine. Don't go to Denise's house. I have candy and coffee.
Oh, see, there you go. That's where you want to go, not my house.
Yeah, she's got kale. She has kale and like sparkling water.
Sparkling water.
I
We have a lot of kale.
like kale. I'm not gonna
Me
lie.
too. I do too. Especially like if you do it, I guess Caesar. Have you ever had a kale Caesar?
Yes,
That
ma'am.
is really good.
I'm gonna mention names. They're not a
Okay.
sponsor, but they could be if they wanted to. But Chick-fil-A has that kale and like, is it apple? But it's kale and something. I think it's kale and apple, and then they toss it in like a little vinaigrette. It's like
Ew.
this little tiny side salad. It is so good. It's
Really?
so
I've
good.
never tried that.
Yeah.
Huh,
Because
that's something new.
sometimes you pull up through the drive-thru and you're like, maybe I won't be a complete fat ass today. And you're like, yeah, let me have the grilled nuggets, this kale salad, and a diet frosted lemonade.
Alarms go off. They're like, somebody's trying to be healthy. What do you mean? What do
Give her a cookie. Give her a
I mean? Yeah,
cookie.
exactly. Throw it in for free.
Yeah, exactly. But gosh, yeah, I do. Oh, God, I miss Shriek Fest. That was like one of the most wonderful moments of my life. Just being there, being around people, meeting. I'm blanking on his name, but Chris. You remember Chris from Zoe 101?
Oh yeah, Murray, Chris Murray.
Murray, yes. He dropped off the face of the earth, but
I know. I haven't heard from him in forever either. I'm a little worried about him.
we should Google him, find out if he's okay.
Is he on Facebook still? I see. I think I checked for him maybe last year, and he wasn't on Facebook anymore.
And I had sent him emails and no reply. So, but he was the sweetest thing. Because the after party of you guys, I forget what the pub we went to was. And he's like, "Well, how are you guys getting there?" And I was like, "Oh, I didn't know that we could go, first of all. And second of all, he's like, get in the car, you know?" And then he had to like clear out his back seat so
Oh,
there
how
was room.
sweet.
And
Yeah, he's a good guy.
yeah. And then he offered, he like drove us around a little bit and he's like, there's a Nickelodeon Studios. He's like, you want me to take your picture? And we were like, yeah, cool, sure. And so we had to run across the street and he was still on the other side of the street. And he yells across the street, I get so many cameras this way. And
Like he stole your camera.
like he pretended like he was going to get back in the car and leave us there. I mean,
That's
yeah, he's
funny.
amazing.
Yeah,
We'll have to reunite.
yes.
So what have you got going on? I've already, oh, your intro girl. You've got so many things under your belt. But
I'm trying. It's been
yeah.
hard this last year. Oh my gosh. Well, and part of me has just stopped auditioning. Like I told my agents, let's take a break because I didn't want to deal with the testing, the quarantining, I was like, that's too much. I have a daughter. I can't leave. Like a friend of mine just booked a Netflix show and he had to have six tests in 8 days and then quarantine for 5 days out of his state. I'm like, I just can't do that
Right.
right now. So I've just not been auditioning. But the past 2 weeks, I said, okay, if it's something that's going to shoot in May, go ahead. And wouldn't you know, I started booking. Of course, they're not going to shoot till later in the year, which is totally fine with me. So I have a TV series, and this is going to be really amazing. It's about Amelia Earhart, but she's time travel girl.
Okay.
And the director had contacted me and we chatted on the phone for about an hour and a half. And he said, I don't have a specific role, but I want you in it. And then like a week goes by and he contacts me and he says, I've got something. And he sends over this, like, it's almost like a animated drawing of this woman. And her name is Queen Bee, which is really
Nice.
interesting because my mother-in-law puts bees everywhere. So I was like, oh, this is really bizarre how this might be working out. So I'm playing some character called Queen Bee. Don't really even know anything about her yet, but it's kind of exciting. Another job, a feature Crossfire. And that one is super cool. Like, there's all these things just popping into place.
Right. So the minute you started saying yes, the universe started saying yes right back to you.
Yes,
That's amazing.
I know. It was really amazing. And friends kept asking me, are you sure you're okay with not auditioning? I'm like, not really, but yes, I'd rather stick to my guns and not deal with all of that nonsense. Not that I was afraid of getting COVID. I just didn't want to deal with
It is
that.
intense. It's
Yeah.
intensive. Like you said, it's like six tests and
Right.
six negative tests. And nobody wants to get I don't know how they're testing, but I had to get a Q-tip up my nose and it was bleh, didn't
No,
want it.
I don't want
Yeah.
to do
So to do that every other day, forget about it. I was talking to somebody the other day, I think, but we were talking about the influx of I'll see like on Twitter, ads for it and stuff. There's an influx of game show type formats. And I'm wondering if it's because it's less of a production
probably.
and then an actual show.
Because for something like that, they could have the host on one set and they can literally, I mean, they don't have to put them together. I mean, they've been doing some crazy things. Like, I know people who've gone to sets and they're here, here's their partner, there's a glass partition between them, and they're acting through the window. Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Yeah,
Just don't
it's
want to
ugh.
do that.
I mean,
It's
if you can take time off from it, take time off from it just for your
like
own sense of
family.
safety. And
Yeah.
yeah, that's exciting. Amelia Earhart. What
I
if she
know,
was?
isn't that
What
cool?
if she is a time traveler?
I know.
Her story is one of those romanticized tragedies. Like I watched, what is it, Night at the Museum 2, I think, when they go to the Smithsonian.
Yes.
And I know that it's an actress playing Amelia Earhart, but I get choked up. I'm like, what is wrong with me? This is a comedy. But it's just, it's so sad. And it is, it's so romanticized. It's like the first woman and oh, she's lost. And oh, my heart. So I'm so happy to hear that they're going to be doing that. Do you know what platform it's going to be on yet?
No idea.
You're just going to begin
it. Yeah, this literally happened. So I don't even know if there's a complete script even, but it is a, it's a series. I don't know how big my role is. I know nothing, but I loved chatting with him. So
that's,
I got good vibes. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, we will see.
Did they cast the lead yet? You don't have to tell me, but did they?
I think they're close, but I don't think they've officially done anything.
Like I'm imagining in my head who could do her. I think in the film, wasn't it Amy, I can't say it, Amy McAdams?
Oh, yeah.
I think she played in the movie. But yeah, that definite look. So that I'm really excited for you.
Thank you.
And fingers crossed, Shriek Fest at the end of the year.
I think so. I think it will happen.
I mean, you've already got the content. You're already judging. You're already watching and judging.
And the cool things, you know, it's not going to be considered old content because none of those people have played a theater.
Right.
So it's, and so many people have written to me saying, thank you for not doing virtual. Right. And you don't need a festival to do that. If you want to put your film online, you don't need me to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You can just do it. So what can I give you that you can't give yourself? And that would be people, a theater, and you know, audience, everybody, and press. So yeah, I'm holding out.
Almost everyone I've talked to, when you ask like, what do you miss? It's movies. It's going to the movie theaters or concert. It's that group experience that people are missing. Some people are like, I miss going to the bar. Well, I'm like, well, you're dumb because it's that group experience that I miss, you know,
and for the
kid, no, it's that interaction with their classmate. Cause I don't know about you, but his school is still closed. So it's just like,
it's still closed. What?
Yeah.
I thought all the schools in Florida were open.
He goes to a private Christian school, so specifically
closed?
For autism. I don't know if maybe they just suffered too much when they were closed, but we don't know the situation, but we've been doing some learning at home and mom is still doing her college classes. So right now we are two of us learning about the history of the theater, which is really interesting. But again, it's like doing the best you can with what you got. So
right. Yeah, the schools here are open, but because at the sender. Yeah.
Yeah. But you had a chance. Like Carlos Navarro was talking about what you said. It was like they're open, but you can also keep your kid home. And they were choosing, you know, they were going back and forth whether they were gonna keep her or let her go.
Right. You could do in school, virtual, or homeschool. And we chose homeschool because we chose, and well, good or bad, she loves homeschooling. So now it's
that's
like,
amazing.
We might be in trouble.
No, but I mean, look at the benefit of it though. She can progress at her pace. And if she already knows this, she's going to blast through and she's going to be on to the next, you know, the higher math or the higher sciences.
And she is. It's crazy because the time they spent in a school, this is not needed all that time. So we're very lenient, but we're bypassing some of her friends even in math and things like that. Because she only does school Monday through Thursday, 10 to 2, half hour classes. She's got a lot of electives. So like I've taught her to sew and knit, garden, and
things
like that too. Plus all the math and English, all typical. But yeah, I mean, 30 minute class, when you're in class and you've got, you know, kids asking questions, kids acting up, it just wastes all the time of the day. And now we're not wasting.
Even in a positive setting of there's 30 kids in a class and 10 of them have questions, but you, the student, have already figured it out. And you're just like, can we go on to the next question, please?
Exactly.
I understand that they're, you know. And it's like homeschooling seems to just benefit them so much.
It does. It really does. Especially for your son, I would imagine.
I bet,
because you've got patience. You know him.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else.
Exactly. But the way she's going, she's going to graduate at 15. And then what are you going to do?
I know. And what's funny is with the math, we started completely over because we said we're not going to do anything Common Core. So we started completely over. And like she just was getting through all these things so quickly, which is wonderful because she's like, what? This is so much easier. Why are they teaching it the other way?
Well, because they're ridiculous. And I can't believe you said that bad word, Common Core.
I know.
My son, his older brother brought it home once and he showed it to me and I was going, I don't know. Go look it up on the internet because I don't know. I said, this makes no sense to me.
It's like they purposely want to dumb them down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. Or dumb us down. We can't teach them.
There's something to keep us under control and out of shenanigans sometimes.
Right.
We're not going to veer off into conspiracy theories, but
no,
yeah.
We're not.
We don't like we don't like Common Core. We are agreed.
I don't think I know anyone that does, quite
No,
honestly.
I mean,
So,
why?
right.
Why would you?
No. If you can do 5 times 7 and just memorize it like we did, why do you need to draw the block and break away the block? You know, it's like so dumb.
There are things that I want to find out who created them, and I want to go and I want to punch him in the nose. It's like, why did you do this? No, you
Yeah.
know, smack him on the nose like a bad dog or her and be like, just don't do that again because
Right.
that.
And what's worse is why do we keep it? Although I think it's going away now,
Yeah,
Common Core.
I believe. Well, it's gone away in my house, I'll tell you that
Exactly.
much.
Happier kids with it gone too.
And I love that you're giving her electives like sewing and knitting. That's
And cooking. So she's been baking, cooking. And sometimes she doesn't want to. She's like, oh. I'm like, okay, why don't you come up with something creative? What do you want to cook? Here's what we have for ingredients. What would you make with it? And she comes up with some interesting things that taste pretty good. I go, now look at that. How easy was that? Next, I'm going to teach her how to do laundry. I know some people her age can already do it, but been a little, why not teach real life stuff that she's going to actually use?
Exactly. And then teach her how to balance her checkbook, change a
Yep.
tire.
Yep.
That'll
And we're
be
going
next.
back over all the cursive again because, you know, they did such a minimal amount of teaching it. So I'm like, let's make sure we got all these letters perfect because I have a nephew who's 21 now. He can only sign his name. They never taught him cursive through all of the school.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
That is so sad.
Yep.
Ugh.
That's another big question mark. Why are they doing this?
I think on the
You
one
have
hand,
several people to punch now.
I've got a list. I'm writing names down. But I think on the one hand, I think they're trying to force uniformity, everybody the same. This is how we all do it. Nobody deviate from it. And I don't know if they're doing it to be in control or if they believe wrongly that if people all do something the same way, there won't be any contention or divisiveness. But I think it's absolutely wrong because I think if you have a bunch of people thinking the same way, it's going to grow that contention because one person's going to rebel against it and then another person's going to rebel against it. And then they're going to look, their rebellions are going to, you know, possibly be opposite of each other's. And now they're fighting. I mean, and
Right,
your uniformity did not work because now your entire group is at each other's throats. So.
yeah, you have a good point there. They're not taking into account how smart these kids are. These kids are smart.
Yeah, really
They
smart.
know things we didn't know, you know, and they're gonna figure out, like what you just said, they're gonna figure that out and be like, no, we're gonna do it our way.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And you see videos all the time of like a teacher trying to argue with a student or a student argue with a teacher. And you kind of fall on both sides because you want, on the one hand, we want our kids to respect authority, but we also want our kids to speak up when they know that something is wrong. So
Right,
it's a
right.
sticky place to be. So we have to teach them respectfully state your opinion and how you believe that they might be in error without being like, you're freaking wrong. You're an idiot. But just, and also learning when to just say, okay, and then just table it for the moment and take it maybe above their head or take it home and talk to the parents so they're not ending up suspended because they continued to, air quote, fight with the teacher. So we're going to try to do Shriek Fest in LA, hopefully sometime later this year. So we're going to have to postpone Florida till next year.
I don't know what we're going to do about Florida. I don't know. And, you know, I could have done Florida first, but people, they enter Shriek Fest because they want their premieres in LA.
They
So
want to go
that's,
to LA. Who doesn't want to go to LA? Come on.
right. So that's
Walk
why I
the
got to keep that one going first and then figure out if we're going to do Florida or I don't know what to do. This whole thing has
Let's.
been very stressful.
It's 4 days in LA, right? Yeah. So maybe just like a weekend event or something, or even as
Yeah.
like an all day Saturday event or something, you
Right.
know?
Right, which is what we have been doing in the previous years in Florida. We will see.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Right. And people can keep up with it. It's shriekfest.com.
.com.
It is 21 years old. I cannot believe that, because I've been knowing you for 12 of those.
Right.
So you were just a little baby when, you know, when it started. your festival was just a baby. So you did these movies and you were like, I am not seeing the kind of festival I want to see, so let me make my own kind of thing? Or
no, it was weird, Gwen, because, okay, so I had starred in a horror film, and it was the first movie I'd starred in. So I was like, well, let's get this out there, right? You know, like, what about film festivals? And the director and the producer were like, well, there's not really any festivals that cater to horror. And I was like, how could that be? And I remember talking to my sister-in-law and I said, I don't understand it. We should do one. And she was like, do a film festival? I go, yeah, horror. We could do it around Halloween. I love horror films. It'd be something fun to do in our free time.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, okay, you know, I always say naivete will take you far, because what you don't know can't stop you. And so we threw this thing together and got a website and started getting submissions, and it was amazing. We had so much fun. We met wonderful people. And then the next year, it like blew up. It was desperately needed, apparently. And that's when I was like, okay, now this is fun. And then I think it was a few more years where I started to go, oh gosh, this is really a lot of work. This was supposed to be something fun to do around Halloween. And then ever since then, it's a full-time job.
Yeah, all day, every day.
24/7. And my main love is acting, of course, so I don't want to take away from that. It's difficult sometimes. I don't know. And this year, having basically the whole year off, it makes you ponder, how do you want to live your life? I think a lot of people are doing that. Like, I know people who want to quit their jobs, change their job, retire. It's really interesting what this year has done to people. You realize what's important to you. Have you had that experience?
Well, that, and in a way, it forces you to change when you might not have either been ready for it or known that you needed to change.
Yeah.
But it's like your company, this is hypothetical, your company closed.
Right.
Well, you've been talking about going back to school for the last 10 years. How about you do that? Or you've been talking about, you've been watching those baking shows and going, I can do better than that.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So as bad as the pandemic has been for businesses and for people that have been furloughed or lost their jobs, in a way, it's also been forcing them to make some changes in their life that may, hopefully, will end up, you know, being very beneficial to them. If them a new joy, a new passion, you know.
So. What is like the most positive thing that has come out of it for you?
Increased creativity. This kind of thing. I actually fell into it because I got an email on my school account and it said intern needed for this magazine. I was like, well, that looks like fun. So I clicked on it and she immediately replied to me and she said, I want you. And I was like, I don't know you, but I got to talking to her and she's the president, editor in chief. It's Be Unique Magazine.
And
it's a nonprofit, and it's all about uplifting, inspiring, healthy, better, you know, everything. And I was like, okay, well, what do you want me to do? And it was just, again, something fun to do in my spare time. Ha ha ha.
And also, all that spare time we have.
Oh, it's just it's floating around. And I also, it would give me credit towards school. So I was like, yeah. And she's like, it's just for a semester. And I was like, okay, cool. What do you need me to do? And she's like, I need you to go through my emails, get rid of the junk and reply back to people. And I was like, I can answer emails. You know, how hard could it be? And then I kind of became an overachiever and I would see an email and I would be like, well, hey, what you should maybe like, this person is really interesting and they're involved with this company. And da-da-da. And so she started calling me pup because I was like digging instead of just like,
oh no,
I got so excited. I knocked my headset off, but I don't know. I'm not Italian, but I'm talking with my hands. Instead of just like being like, oh, delete. I was like, that looks like someone she might want to talk to because they have a podcast that's heard in 63 countries. You know, they reach like 350,000 people a year. Hi, buddy. And, but I would see something, I'd be like, well, this person is doing this really super great thing. Maybe she would want to talk to him on the podcast or do a feature on him or whatever. So I would send it back to her. And after I did that a couple of times, she's like, how about you start replying to these people and setting and trying, you know, trying to schedule them and do this, that, and the other. And then we kept getting emails from singers reps and authors reps and actresses. Wow. And she's like, you know what? She's like, I can't have all of these people on my podcast. She goes, come up with a concept, come up with a theme, and you talk to the creative people. And I was like the authors and the actors. And I was like, okay, because I can talk. I can talk. That's not a problem. I can talk. So I said, I can't do it live because sometimes I ramble, obviously. Sometimes I'll forget what I'm saying. Sometimes I'll be like, can you hear me? No, I can't hear you. I can hear, you know. So I said, do you mind if I pre-record and then we can edit any, you know, nonsense? And she was like, absolutely. And then she's like, let's work on a logo. And it all like within a week. So I said, okay. And she's like, well, when do you think you want to launch? And I was like, well, let me see if I actually can get anybody that wants to talk to me. Almost every email that a rep would send in that I would reply to and invite them to be on the show has wanted to talk. And it, sure. Like, I love you anyways, but I'm talking to the coolest people.
That's and awesome.
The format I wanted to have was for people to listen and be like, oh, wow. I saw her and I saw the light. She's a normal person, or you know, she's not a normal person because
right.
With a few exception of some celebrities we shall not name, most of them are down to earth. That singer that you think is just the bomb diggity wants to talk about how his dog is, you know, whatever. They want to talk about stuff. They want to talk about normal stuff. And she took it and she went along with it. So that's like the main thing that's come out of it. That's
awesome.
Been the biggest change. I mean, I'm still a mom. I still have my Justin. He's standing right here.
Hi, Justin.
Miss Denise says, hi. Wave. Look, you can't see him. He's waving. Here, get your hand in here.
Aww.
There you go. So, you know, it's just been a little boost, little passion jump, because you get in a rut, you know, you really do. And that's why people with COVID, they were like, oh my God, the changes. And I'm like, I still get up. I still get, make sure he gets his medication and his breakfast. Mm-hmm. I still go to work. Nothing. Thank God I didn't get furloughed or lose my job, but nothing really changed for me. It was the same thing day in, day out. So I couldn't really, except for having to wear a mask, and we already wash our hands all the time anyways.
Right.
It wasn't that much of a change. Up to a point, we weren't affected. Nobody we knew got sick. So we were a little bit insulated mm-hmm. from it all. Mm-hmm. My sister ended up getting it, which killed that. But she was sick for like, I want to say like 2 months. But yeah, so this has been so much fun. I love talking to people. And every single person I have talked to has been just wonderful. Has been,
awesome.
They've been interesting. They've been nice. You know, I see actors and actresses or directors or, you know, the filmmakers doing junkets. And how did you like working with Denise Gossett? How did you like working with Denise Gossett? How did you,
right.
What was your favorite scene to film, you know? And you answer the same like 5 questions 30 times. And
yes.
So I was like, I don't want to be like, you know, how was it to work with? So I want to be like, tell me about little you. Tell me about, did you always want to do this? It's been a lot
You're
of
so
fun.
Right, Gwen. You're so right. Because you know, I do a lot of interviews and it's always the same mm-hmm. question. I'm like, you know, these poor readers, they're reading the same thing about me every time. So I try to throw little new things in every time because, yeah.
Well, yeah, the media and the newspapers, I guess we can still call them newspapers when they're online, but there's a specific actor who's in the news right now for some sexual indiscretions, so to speak, without naming names. And there was like 5 or 6 articles. One was LA, one was Washington, one was New York, one was, you know, I don't know, the Star Tribune or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I clicked on each of them and it's same story, almost like verbatim. And I was like, I wanted a little more information from the story that I just read. Did
right.
any of you go any further than they didn't go any deeper?
Nope. Isn't that weird? What happened to reporters? Remember back in the day, like reporters were, they were always trying to get that story. Now it seems like they're fed a story and they tell, that's it. They don't do any work on their own to find more details. It's really bizarre to me. Find the real, dig deep, you know, find all that stuff.
Get
they don't
more information.
Do that.
No, they don't. It's almost like, what is that stuff called? I think it's called like flash fashion or something like that, where it's this junk clothing that you buy from like Wish or Shein or whatever the thing is called. And it's just like mass produced amounts of just crappy clothing. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like, so would that be like trash, flash newsing? I don't know. But it's like,
yes.
It's mass produced, thin, doesn't hold up, will wear out quick. And that's
right.
That's the news that we're getting. And for you and I, especially like that already have creative brains, we want more. We want the rest of the story. We are the type of people that when the credits roll on certain movies, we go, there was more.
Yes, exactly. And that, you know, it's so funny you say that, because now when I watch a movie, especially if it's like about a real person, I always think, how much of this was fake? And I'll start doing some research. Like, did so-and-so really do that? Or was that dramatized for the movie?
Mm-hmm.
And almost 100% of the time, it was dramatized.
Right.
And that's super annoying, because the majority of people aren't going to look any further. They're only going to watch that movie and believe that's how that person really was.
Right.
When they weren't.
Right. Like with Bohemian Rhapsody, a lot of it was on... A lot of it was spot on, and that was
right.
Because Brian and Roger were involved with it.
Right.
But like some people were like, this movie, and we're allowed to cuss on this, by the way, this
okay.
movie is shit because he did not tell them right before they went online. Oh, well, okay, we know. It's called artistic license. If you're a true
right.
fan, you know. But
right.
people that are not lifelong Queen fans
right.
might
know.
Not know that. The artistic license was used to create that impact.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't mean that the rest of the movie is, you know, not true.
Right, right. Yeah. There's usually just bits and pieces, but some people go just crazy and totally change someone's life
mm-hmm.
just for, you know, to be creative in their movie or to make you seem it was more dramatic than it was.
Right.
But, you know, most of them are good, like you said, and it'll be like a few little tidbits that they got wrong or changed slightly.
Did you notice that with I Saw the Light? It was Hank Williams, right? Senior?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did you delve deep into that?
I did, but, you know, it was hard, like for someone who drinks a lot, you only find so much, especially because that was farther back too. Mm-hmm. So it's not like there's a ton of stuff easily findable because it was, you know, farther back in life. And kind of like what you said about the newspaper reports, when you look something up and they all have the same thing, it was more of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, we knew he had a drinking problem.
We knew that he married this young girl. We knew.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's harder to get even any further than that. Unless, like you said, if you talk to someone who was directly involved, they'll know the ins and outs. But it's still, you know, if you and I went to some function, we would both come out telling a slightly different story. Still the same story, but slightly different for how you reacted to it and how I reacted to it.
Right, because it was your perception and your
right.
experience. Yeah, that's
yeah.
a really good movie, by the way. I Saw the Light.
Thank you. Yeah, I thought he did an amazing job.
Phenomenal. And that was him singing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You
the
guys.
Bohemian Rhapsody, he lip synced.
I know.
This one, Tom Hiddleston, he really did all that.
Tom Hiddleston, let me tell you, he can come and knock on my door anytime and he can do whatever he wants. He can sing, he can cook, he can host my podcast. He is adorable. I mean,
yeah.
He's just like, I was going to say America's sweetheart. He's just like the world's sweetheart.
Right. I know. He's super nice too. Oh my gosh. We had some funny conversations. He's just a great guy.
And he's a prankster too. Ironically, from what I heard, because like you'd see the cast of Endgame and they'd be like, which of you is most likely? And they'd either point at him or they'd point at Ruffalo. And it was like, I can see that.
Yeah, you can totally see that.
Yeah, and nothing for anybody who's like a Rami Malek, you know, super fan. We're not saying nothing about
no.
him.
Oh, no, I love him. I thought he was amazing in that movie.
But the thing is, you have to lip sync because nobody is Freddie Mercury.
No,
nobody.
No,
Nobody. Don't
but
even
I
try.
I did love him in that movie, regardless. And what's funny is I thought he was trying to sing it. So I didn't realize till afterwards that it was lip synced, but I thought he did an amazing job.
We're going to get off on a Rami tangent here. But real quick, I watched him on an interview and I forget the number, but to get those mannerisms for the Live Aid performance down, I want to say thousands of times he watched it.
I'm sure.
And he would watch how he sat at the piano, how he did this, how he did that. And he said, and I had never known this, that Freddie had such amazing posture because he was self-conscious about his mouth. He found ways to distract himself maybe from it. So he would have really good posture. He would walk properly to take the focus off of his, you know, his teeth. So I was like, that's amazing. So he watched thousands of hours of that. And when the first time I saw it, when I saw for a second until it's on his face, you're going, I don't know who I'm watching here, because he had it down pat.
Yes, I agree. There were times I'm like, whoa, look, he's got him down. He did a phenomenal job.
He did. Let's do this again, and we will talk more, especially as it gets closer to Shriek Fest, because I want to promote it.
I would love that. Thank you. Thank you so much. Great catching up with you and seeing you.
I know. I miss you so much.
I miss you too. My goodness.
And you're close now, so we could just, you know, meet 6 feet apart.
Let me know. We can meet up somewhere and have lunch or something.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming and talking to me.
Bye.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Miss Denise. Please head over to shriekfest.com for all information on the film festival. It will be happening in October of this year. It's an amazing festival. If you're a writer, it may be too late to get your screenplay in. Or filmmakers, it may be too late to get your film in. But it is not too late to get your tickets and go to the film festival. As always, please follow and show support to my friends over at beunique.org. Without their support, I wouldn't be the pup that I am today. You can find me on social media. I'm Pup Duffy on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. You can follow the show on Facebook, Coffee, Candy, and Creatives. As always, take care of each other, love each other, watch each other's backs, and I'll see you next time.